You're listening to the Igniting Souls podcast with Cary Oberbrunner, devoted to helping you become a soul on fire.
Hey, it is Cary Oberbrunner. It is great to be with you today, episode 58. Going to be a good one. Welcome if you are brand new. Today's episode, we are talking about how to test your business idea so you don't waste time and money. Wouldn't that be cool if you could actually predict whether a business idea had merit, whether that thing was going to fly? Well, that's exactly what we're talking about today. In fact, I have a very special guest. If you've been a longtime listener of the Igniting Souls podcast, you know I barely ever have guests on purpose because I love to answer your questions. I love to chat with you. I love to dialogue. But every once in a while, there comes a brilliant person that I need to sit down with and ask them questions because you're asking me the questions. So last week, we had Michael Hyatt on with Daniel Harkavy. They wrote the book Living Forward, which is doing fantastic. And I interviewed them all about the drift and the design, living your life according to the drift or according to design. And I heard fantastic comments from you guys. I know you enjoyed it. But today we're talking with Pat Flynn, and he recently wrote a book called Will It Fly? And literally, folks, in this book and in our chat, you're going to hear key indicators that predict whether your next book, your next business, next ministry, next endeavor will have validity. I mean, that's what we all want, right? Who wants to sit in an office for 6 months, 12 months, planning this big launch only to launch it and hear crickets? Talk about discouraging. So Pat went on a quest and discovered key indicators that predict a business's success, an idea's success, before you begin investing tons of time and money. So folks, buckle your seatbelts. We are in for a fantastic, exciting journey. And then at the very end, I'll step back and we'll chat a little bit. Welcome, Pat Flynn. Hey, Igniting Souls Tribe. It is fantastic to be with you today. I have a very special guest who has put his whole heart into this amazing book. And as authors, a lot of you know that you're putting your blood, sweat, and tears into this little thing called a book that goes and launches all over the world and touches people. So I want to welcome the amazing Mr. Pat Flynn. Welcome, Pat.
Thank you for having me, Cary. Pleasure to be here.
Awesome. And Pat, for a couple people that might not know you, give us the quick rundown of what you do, and then we'll talk about Will It Fly?
Sure, absolutely. And again, thank you for having me here. You know, it's interesting. Whenever anybody asks me what I do, the answer is always different because I just do a lot of stuff. I mean, first and foremost, I'm a husband and a father here in San Diego, California, and I work from my home office. And I'm very lucky because the work that I do allows me to have this very flexible schedule that allows me to spend most of my time with them. But what I do is essentially I'm an online entrepreneur, online serial entrepreneur, I guess you could say. And I got started in 2008 when I got laid off from an architecture position, and I took some knowledge I had about an architectural exam, and I set up a website and tried to help as many people as I could pass that same exam. And I studied, I published study guides and practice exams, and then later classes. And that business took off. It did very, very well. And I built smartpassiveincome.com, which is where most people know me from now, to talk about how I built that business. And since then, I've built publicly several other sort of niche businesses, software businesses, and other things, showing everybody what I've learned, the things that go right, the things that go wrong, what I wish I'd done better, the wins, the failures, and even my income every single month, down to the penny, where it all comes from and how it all happens. So I'm just very blessed to be where I'm at now, having, you know, authored this book, but also getting asked to do keynote speeches and just all this amazing stuff that I never would have thought I've would have done. And I'm just, you know, looking back at that layoff in 2008, although at the time it was one of the hardest things ever, it turns out to be one of the best things ever too. So again, very thankful to be here, and you know, whatever I could do to help you and your tribe.
Fantastic.
I'm here.
Fantastic. Well, I love what you say in that little intro, because yeah, many times when you're handed something like getting laid off, a lot of people become victims, and I essentially say that they lay in bed, blame excuses and denial. But you crushed it, man. And we talk about victors. Victors put their oar in the water and move forward. You took ownership, accountability, and responsibility. So, Pat, I know for one, I'm a fan of yours, but also I've applied it. And I know you love to hear that when students apply.
And absolutely.
Yeah. And I've gone pro about 4 years ago, based on people like you, Dan Miller. And that's why we're here today, to talk about this book, Will It Fly? I love the subtitle, because everybody says they lack time and money. And so your subtitle says, how to test your next business idea so you don't waste your time and money. And you start out in the book with this amazing story with your son and paper airplanes. Can you give us the quick rundown of that story?
Yeah, sure. I love how much of an impact this story is making, and how much people remember it, because it was definitely a cool moment in my son's life. So, you know, he was three. He actually just turned three. It was his birthday, and I wanted to do something for him that was pretty cool and kind of start the day off well. And I showed him how to fold a paper airplane. I showed him that I took this flat piece of paper and I folded it and I threw it across the room. And he was so excited. I was like, yes, this is awesome. Mm-hmm. He's like, I want to build it too. I'm like, yes, this is exactly the reaction I want. So of course I go get another sheet of paper, and you know, I hand it to him, and before I could give him any instruction, he was just rushing right into it, right? He was folding it like I had folded it, but just kind of didn't know really where or how. And of course, he's only three, so he's not even that coordinated yet to fold a paper airplane. But, you know, he ends up with this thing that doesn't even look like a paper airplane at all, and he throws it, and it just doesn't go anywhere. And you could tell that he's just not into it anymore. He literally says, I don't like paper airplanes. And I was like, that was just your first try. Like, why are you giving up? And so, you know, I recruit him back again, and I show him, okay, follow what I do. This is step one. You fold this down and you fold the wings. And he folded his own plane, and he was about to throw it, and he asked me, like, is this really going to fly? And I said, you know, we've given it what it needs to have a chance. You know, you have wings now. It actually looks like a plane. Mm-hmm. So let's put it out there, just throw it and see what happens. And of course it flew, and he was just ecstatic. Like, he couldn't believe that he had just done this thing. And it was because he just took a little bit of time to learn from somebody who had done it before and validate that it was actually something that could potentially fly. And so ever since then, he's been building paper airplanes like crazy. And that's how I see a lot of people building their businesses. You know, they see somebody else do it, mm-hmm. and they go through the same motions. They get the logo done, they build the website, you know, again, similar to how my son was approaching the paper airplane first time around. And then you try it, and if it doesn't work out, you don't get the results you were hoping for, those same results that you saw your other person or other friend do, and you just kind of give up, or you feel like it's not for you. Well, you just rushed into it, and you didn't know if this thing was going to work because you just were going into it blindly. And so the entire purpose of the book is to help people discover if that idea that they have is actually one that is going to have paying customers at the end. And knowing that, through a series of thought experiments, tests, litmus tests, and just small-scale experiments, to see what works and what doesn't is so important for that confidence that you need to move forward as an entrepreneur. Because I know a lot of people who have great ideas, but they just don't know if it's going to work or not, so they don't act. They're much more comfortable being complacent with where they're at versus potentially having to go into something that they're not used to, or, mm-hmm. you know, going through that fear, that resistance that always comes into play, right? Whenever we try to do something new or different, you know, we feel uncomfortable. Our head tells us that, you know, no, what are you doing? Like, don't go over there. Like, let's just go back to where you were safe. Mm-hmm. And of course, when you do that, you don't get to experience the amazing things that happen outside of your comfort zone.
Yeah. No, I love it. And do you feel that same joy when you see one of your students of your courses, kind of like your son, maybe they get bumped a little bit in the beginning, but then they throw that business, that idea, it takes flight. I mean, isn't that the coolest thing? Do you share in that joy with your students as well?
Oh gosh, it's one of the most amazing feelings in the world to know that, you know, I've been able to just through guidance have an impact on somebody's life. But I get these emails, I get these amazing handwritten letters, I get gifts and stuff because I've helped people out. And I'm like, they're like, thank you, Pat, you did it. And I'm like, no, I didn't do it. I just gave you the guidance. It was always in you. You just had to take action on it. And just with a little bit of guidance, you were going in the right direction. I mean, the will it fly, you know, the plane analogy that's throughout the book. I mean, I could have gone overboard with it. I think I balance that pretty well, but I'm pretty nerdy when it comes to it, kind of corny when it comes to things like that. But I think I balanced it pretty well. But you know what? The one thing I mentioned in the book is, like, you know, a lot of people approach things in life like entering a plane and not knowing where you're going. Mm-hmm. You know, it's kind of cool and fun in the beginning, but then over time, you're just going to lose gas. And when you eventually come back down to the ground, you might be further away than where you should be, or even than where you started. It's because you don't have that destination, that goal in mind. So it's really important that for everybody to know where you're going, or at least have an idea of the direction you want to go, or else you're just going to blindly move and eventually run out of gas.
Well, and you're going right into the part one, the mission design. And I believe we'll be able to have enough time to give a quick overview of the different parts of the book. Of course, people will want to get the book themselves. Truly, folks, this is going to save you decades. I mean, I'm not understating that at all. So you want to be able to get this book. But in part one, Mission Design, you kind of talk about this test, this exercise, where you kind of write out where you want to go. Can you just give us a quick overview of what that first part of the book is?
Yeah, so the first part of the book is called Mission Design. And, you know, the way I explain it is, you know, NASA, for example, when they launch something into space, it's never just because they can do it, right? There's always a specific purpose and a lot of, you know, reasons for doing that. And of course, that's because there's a lot of money involved, but time involved, people involved, and a lot of resources that have to go into launching a mission. So it's the same thing with you and your business. You don't just want to do it just because. You want to do it knowing that there's a specific reason and a destination there. And so the exercise you're talking about is one of three that I talk about in this part of the book, which are essentially thought experiments. And, you know, I could have easily just said, oh, think of where you want to be in 5 years, the 5-year plan, which is very common. But that's A, kind of boring, and B, it doesn't put it into context. And so what these thought experiments do, thought experiments are meant to take to make up a scenario, essentially, that is not real, but it puts you in a real situation where then real emotions, real feelings, real results can come out of it. So that's the purpose. And so for this one, the first one that you're talking about is called the airport test. And so if you go to an airport, if you imagine 5 years down the road, you're at an airport and you run into an old friend, a friend that you hadn't seen for a while, but you deeply cared about, you go and catch up over coffee, and he asks you, or she asks you, hey, like, how's life? And you respond with, life is amazing. It couldn't get any better. And your job is to think about, well, what 5 years from now would make you state that life couldn't get any better? And to help you through this, you take a sheet of paper and you fold it into four quadrants, and you write down at the top of each quadrant one of the four top categories of your life that are most important to you. So for me, for example, it would be family, health, professional, and finances. For others, it might be, you know, music might be important, or sports, or whatever. And then within each of those quadrants, you write down, you just list all the things that you know that in 5 years from now would make you say that life is amazing. And this sheet that you come up with, it becomes your sort of four quadrants of view, essentially. And it helps you make all the decisions that you want to make from that point forward. It becomes your why. And it is
become so essential for me. I have it right in front of me right now, actually, for a lot of the decisions that I've recently made in my business and in my life, because it's easy to make decisions because I have the path. I have the destination right there in front of me. If you don't have that, then a lot of times these decisions, which may look attractive up front, you know, are going to either be distractions or just something that's gonna pulling you away from where you really should be going. But because this thing is here and it's written down, and you've thought about it because it's in context, you're able to make these decisions and even say no much easier when otherwise it might be hard to say no.
Yeah. Yeah. In other words, as you've experienced success over these last, 8 years, you have more opportunities than you can say yes to. And so unless you have a filter or a grid, you're going to get off track. But because what I hear you saying is these four quadrants, those really act as filters when you get the email pitch or the opportunity to speak somewhere across the world. And unless it matches, do I hear you saying that it's an automatic no?
Yeah, I mean, it makes it very easy. And so I don't have to even waste any time thinking about it. It doesn't align with where I want to go. And that's how I've been able to stay completely focused. And, you know, a lot of people ask me, hey, how do you stay so productive? How do you get so much done? And it's because my mission is clear. That's what it comes down to, really.
I love it. So folks, if you don't have this clarity, you're going to blow yourself up even in the beginning because, Pat, get this. I read this recently. The average person makes 270 food choices every day. Can you believe that?
Wow.
So if we are stalled on, put it this way, if you don't do Pat's fourfold filter, you're not going to be able to make business decisions, much less what you're eating for lunch. All right, cool. Let's go to part two, development lab. And I love your illustration about, you know, back in high school, all the cool kids were printing business cards and
That's cool.
So talk to us about, oh, and I love your one sentence. Man, there is gold in this book. You talk about You talk about going from one page to one paragraph to one sentence, but I'm getting excited. Give us a few elements from part two, if you don't mind.
So part two is the development lab, and the purpose of this is to refine your idea and to really truly know what that is, because our brains are great at coming up with ideas, but to really nail down the details, to put things in order, to create hierarchy, it doesn't do a good job of that. It kind of jumbles everything up. And this business card thing that Carrie was talking about was in high school, like all the cool kids were printing their own business cards. It seems kind of dumb, and of course, because I was a kid and I wanted to be cool, I had my own too, and it was essentially just your name with some clip art and your talents or clubs yet.
Pager.
Yeah, with your pager number, right? The coolest kids had pager numbers. And it's essentially what people are doing today, even before they have a business. Like, we didn't have businesses. We were just flaunting these to act like we were cool and like we had a business. Well, that's what a lot of people are doing now when they start their businesses. They start with the logo or their website or even the name sometimes. And those are fun and exciting, so I completely understand. But if you do all that before you even know what your business is, well, then you're going to get let off course for sure. So the purpose is to really refine and define what your idea is to get it to a point where you know how it's serving your audience. So there's a couple ways to do that. You had mentioned this exercise that is one of my favorites, one of the most life-changing exercises I've ever heard of. And this is whenever you have an idea, you know, write down a whole page about it. You know, you're going to get a lot of great thoughts coming out of that. Mm-hmm. But then try to distill that into one paragraph. So you pull out the best parts of it. You really try to hone in on one specific paragraph that really shines on what this idea actually does, who it's for, what it's about. And then the trickiest part, even though it's the shortest amount of writing, it's the longest one that takes time, is distilling down that one paragraph then into one sentence. And that becomes essentially the core of what it is that you're doing. Mm-hmm. It becomes the thing that you start with when people ask, well, what do you do? Or what is this idea that you have? You start with that sentence. And it really helps nail down your focus. So you know the core truly why you do what you do or what this thing is about. And then all the actions that happen after that, all the market research stuff in the next parts, become focused around that. And without that, you're just, again, going to be lost and you're going to be wasting time and money.
Love it. Love it. Awesome. Let's go to part three, which is flight planning. And what I love about this, there's a bunch of things. I love the PLAN acronym, but I also love this 1,000 true fans. And Pat, don't you see sometimes how people want the big stage, but they're not willing to shepherd their small tribe in the beginning? And really, you're saying dude, you don't need a huge tribe. You need loyal, true fans. Talk to us about that piece.
So there's this article that was written by a man named Kevin Kelly. And he's like the senior editor over at Wired Magazine. But he wrote this article back in 2007 or 2006, I believe. KK.org is his website. But you could find it. Just look up 1,000 True Fans. It has become like a cult classic in the world of entrepreneurship, blogging. And essentially, it says if you have 1,000 people who just absolutely love what you do, they love everything about you, and they're willing to pay you $100 a year, which isn't much. I mean, it's not much when you consider a lot of us pay $100 a month for stuff we don't even use very often.
Right.
But, if you have 1,000 people paying you $100 a year to get access to you, to get the things that you create because they love you so much, that's your six-figure income right there. 1,000 times 100, taxes aside and any of that stuff. I mean, we won't get into the specifics of those numbers, but it's just the idea that you don't need something that a million people have to have to truly make a difference in your life and those other people's lives. Mm-hmm. And it is a huge mindset shift for everybody, because a lot of us are trying to come up with the next Uber or the next Facebook. Mm-hmm. But what about the next Uber for a specific group of people or a specific market? Really what it is, it's becoming that number one resource for that small group of people who have a specific need, who when you come in and you provide the solution, they're going to be the ones that talk about you. They're going to be the ones that share you and you only, because you're the one that came in and rescued them. You become their hero.
Right.
And from there, then you could grow exponentially and change the world. You know, there's this quote that's, if you want to make $1 million, you know, serve 1 million people. And I get that. You know, it makes sense that you want to help as many people as possible. Mm. But are you really going to value what you're worth at $1 per person? No. Mm. I hope not, unless you're building 99 cent, you know, iPhone applications.
Right.
Which isn't bad, but you know, the idea is we have so much that we could do to help make change in this world that you just find some, you know, be the one for somebody's world, not the whole world, but in a world within this world, become the number one resource.
I love it. And tribe, you know, you got to catch this, because as Pat has people come to him, I have a lot of people who come to me and they just say, I want the big stage. And Pat, at least in my favorite book, there's this guy who kills this giant named Goliath, right?
Yep.
And yet everyone forgets that he killed a lion and a bear first. In other words, he was tested and tried and true. And I love in your book how you, this is a perfect setup, but in part four, you talk about validation, and you have different examples of validation. And what I love about this book, guys and gals, is he gives examples. This isn't just theory. It's not even just Pat's experience. He talks about, you remember the jerky illustration?
Yeah.
Right? I mean,
Noah Kagan.
Oh, man. You got the jerky illustration. You got the yoga illustration. You have video fruit illustration. Maybe just pull a couple of these or something and tell us about people who crushed it. Or how about that one guy? What was his name? Jeremy or something? Where didn't he say, I want 5 sales? And then he jumped on a webinar and then sold a crazy amount. Remember that?
Yeah, Joey from School of Motion. Yeah, Joey's a great example. I mean, all these examples in the book, I wanted to show that people were actually doing this, you know, and that's one of my biggest pet peeves when I read books sometimes is, you know, it's all theory and you're like, okay, well, let's actually see it put to work. And actually during the whole book, even through those exercises we already talked about, I actually do these exercises with you. So I thought that was really cool, because I want to show people that, you know, I'm doing this with you. I'm not just saying this from way up here. Like, I'm in the trenches with you doing this. And then with these case studies, you know, Joey is a great example. He is the founder of School of Motion, and he's an animator, and he does what's called motion design. And what's cool is he had built a small following on Vimeo, which is sort of like YouTube, but animators like Vimeo because it's a little bit more professional there. And he built a small email list, and he was like, man, I want to work on this course. And he was going to spend 3 months working on it, but he decided first to see if people actually wanted it. Mm. So to do that, he set up a webinar, and he had his email list come in, and you know, it was only about like 100 people who came on, who were expressing interest in potentially working with Joey on something. But again, that's not enough validation. Like, you can't just have people say they would buy something from you, or just because they're a subscriber, you think that they would buy something from you. You actually need people
to pay, because that's the only way to know if people are actually going to pay. When push comes to shove, when that you know, billing address and the credit card fields are there, are they going to actually fill that out? So he wanted to validate this by actually pre-selling his course even before it was made, just to see if people were interested. And he sent this email out, and he got people on a webinar. He spent 45 minutes providing a ton of value, showing people what his teaching style was like, showing people some stuff he could take home with them, even if they weren't going to purchase. And he said, you know what, I'm opening up this course. There's 20 spots. I just want 5 people. If I have 5 people pre-order it, then I know that this is something I can actually continue to build out in full. Well, he pitched at the end of his webinar, and the spots filled up in 10 minutes, all 20 spots. So he was really excited about that, of course. And he was like, yes, this is like a green light for me to continue moving forward. And actually, so many people were asking for what he was offering, he opened up another 20 spots, which filled up in 1 minute after one email. Wow. So since then, he's been really, really going with more courses. And, and just the other month, he emailed me saying that he had done a launch for a brand new course, and it made over $100,000 in a day. And he pre-sold that one in the same exact way. And so to see him gain this confidence from initially just trying to get 5 people to buy. And the thing is, like, the reason this works really well is, like, if in the most personal way, one-to-one or one-to-many through a webinar, you cannot get people to buy from you with your idea, then what makes you think that when after you build it, anything's going to change? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's the big idea here. And you might think, wow, it's kind of weird that you're asking people to pay for stuff before you actually build it. But we do this all the time. You pay for a ticket when you go to an event that you haven't even experienced yet. You pay for something on Kickstarter that is just an idea that somebody has to pledge to see if this thing's actually going to work out. And you know, now with a lot of tools that are available to us to collect pre-orders and pre-sales,
sure,
it's definitely something that people are a lot more comfortable with. Plus, when you consider that, you know, again, you're not just trying to make money in this phase. You're not trying to make money at all yet. You're just trying to validate whether somebody would pay for it. So it's not about the money at all. It's just the validation. But the cool thing for those people who work with you early is they get access to you. They get to help you build it the way they want it to be built. And then you, as the provider or the person creating this course or this product or whatever it is, you get to not have to guess anymore. You have these people who have already paid you, who are looking forward to this thing that you're building, who are going to work with you and give you the feedback that you need and actually be your first set of users who can then leave testimonials for you. Mm-hmm. And it's just an amazing sort of it's a very lean kind of way of producing something with a lot more confidence and just a lot more chance for things to work out in the end.
Oh, yeah. Couple things about that. I mean, we call that in the tribe here, market before you manufacture, and promote before you produce. And folks, what I love about Pat's book is he doesn't just talk about this. Do you remember that script? You actually give us a script, I think to a guy named Jim, where you say in the book, here's how you write to a guy, Jim, who expressed interest in your product, and in a non-salesy way, essentially invite him to pre-buy before you create it. And Pat, there's tools like that in the book that I just think are gold, because people can,
thank you.
Yeah, people can beat their head against the wall and say, well, I think I know what he's saying and I think I'm going to take a shot at an email, but you actually give examples. And again, it tells Jim it invites him to buy. It gives him a discount as a beta buyer, but it's not salesy or pressured, and I love that about it. Let's talk about part 5, and then I have a couple questions about books in general, because a lot of our tribe are what we call Author Academy Elite students, where I literally coach them how to write, publish, and market their book. And there's a couple things about your book launch and other things that I just want to touch on. But let's go to part 5, which is all systems go.
Yeah, part 5, you know, after the validation stuff, it's really just final words for me based on my experience working with thousands of other entrepreneurs. I mean, that's why, for example, I included that email in there. I knew that people need that to be able to swipe and then actually use for themselves. There's also an email that goes out to somebody who doesn't buy. And that's the cool thing about this process that is unlike a lot of other validation strategies, is even if things don't work out,
you can find out why, so you can make the necessary changes. And so I give you that email script too.
Yes.
But you know, all systems go is just final words of encouragement, final things to look out for, from making sure to break down those big goals that we have and break it down and really appreciate those small wins when you reach those tiny milestones, because those things add up. And getting support, working with mastermind groups, treating your customers like gold. And then, most importantly, it's just remembering why. Because when you're an entrepreneur and you're working on your project, you get so into the details, and you have to work on that next one thing in order to proceed. But when you get so deep into it, you forget what it's like from the bird's eye perspective in terms of why you're doing what you're doing. And when you forget why, you lose motivation. When you forget why, you wonder why you're even doing it in the first place. So it's just important that, the final message I wanted to bring in the book, which is kind of taking you back all the way to part one, is just, hey, remember why you're doing what you're doing, because this is important. It's going to be hard. I don't fluff it at all. I don't say that this is easy at all, but hopefully I've been able to, through the words in this book, guide people through that process and make it a little bit easier. And yeah, so that's that. And I appreciate you having me on and to share that. I'm curious about what I could do to help you in terms of the book marketing stuff. Like what stood out to you? What yeah. questions do you have about that?
Well, couple things. One is you put right out of the gate, which is very generous, which reflects your heart, folks. By the way, if you have not leaned into Pat, he's anti-orthodox, okay? He's unorthodox, meaning you're not going to get all kinds of crazy stuff like buy this, buy that, all that kind of stuff. Right on page one, you say, willitflybook.com/, and then what's the link? Is it
courses?
Yeah.
I mean, from an author's perspective, I actually have a few links in the book that go to the same place, so I can track, for example, where in the book they're going to that thing. So the first one is step one, and then the other one is willitflybook.com/course. And so it's essentially telling me where they go to get access to this free companion course that I built that goes along with this book that I'm actually very proud of. That's, I know, is very different than what other authors have done. Most authors author a course after a book is read. This one is, no, you go through this course while you're reading it. It's like supplemental to your reading experience.
And it's beautifully laid out. Was that teachable.com you mentioned or something like that?
Yep, teachable.com. They have proven methods of teaching people in an online course manner. And I took their modules and lessons components and turned that into chapters and sections and parts, so that the course is actually broken down chapter by chapter. Within each of those chapters, for example, you get bonus videos that explain things that I talk about in the book a little bit more in depth, bonus worksheets that you can download from there. All the links that are mentioned in the book are actually clickable. That's one of my biggest pet peeves when it comes to reading books nowadays, is all the links. Well, all the links are there, and it's absolutely free. And so from a reader's perspective, I would hope that this seems like it's a massive value. It's very convenient. It's a way to dig deeper into the content and also communicate with a lot of the other readers in there in some of the parts that I open up discussions. But from my point of view, it's a great way to, again, deliver something that's different than what they would get from a normal reading experience with another book, just to kind of show you what it's like working with me, because this is a long-term game for me. This isn't, I could have turned this book into a course. I could have turned this book into a much higher priced book that I would be able to make a lot more money from. But I don't do that, because this is the start of a lot of people's journeys, and I want it to be a low barrier to entry, a very non-intimidating way to introduce people to what I can do for them. And I feel like if I provide massive value in this way, they're going to want to work with me years for lifelong down the road. And that's sort of the game plan here. And then in technical terms, the course, obviously, to get access to it, you need to send in your email address. And so I'm collecting email addresses for my readers, which is a goal that every author should have. Yeah. And this is converting actually at 25%. So 25% of the readers are actually converting into the course, and I have their email address. I can see where they're at in the course. I can provide calls to actions for those who finish the course, for example, nice. Which is a sign to me that they finished, and I can ask for a review or see what they thought about it, see what I could do to improve it, all that sort of stuff. So it's pretty cool. It's getting a lot of great reaction. I've actually been asked to do a number of interviews about just the companion course only, which is pretty cool.
Yeah. I mean, it's beautifully laid out. I mean, when I'm coaching our students, our authors, I pay attention to everything. And obviously, in the back of the book, you have some fantastic helps about how to set up a podcast and how to do lead pages. And you're just doing it smart, man. We call it the Jimmy Dean sausage strategy, Pat. I know that's very weird, but where you go to Costco or Sam's Club, you're not even wanting Jimmy Dean sausage, but the nice lady or guy is cooking it. It smells wonderful. They offer you some. There's a coupon, and you take it, and pretty soon you have three of them in your cart if you have little kids like Pat and I. And this is the way you've built your business. It's fantastic. Let's talk about, just in conclusion, so I was part of your launch team. I saw the day of the launch. I saw the, whatever you called. I don't even know what it was. Google Hangouts, I think it was. But
yeah, like the launch party.
Yeah, the launch party. I saw the whole Daniel Decker, the pre-buy and the bonuses. Pat, we know, as we've launched books, I have six traditionally published books, nothing ever goes planned, right? So when you had a few, whatever you call them, hiccups, again, not on your end, but on Amazon's and stuff, how did you maintain, even though you were sleep deprived, how did you maintain just a generous, gracious heart? Can you talk a little bit about preparing in advance, even with Will It Fly, as people are launching their own businesses? How do you maintain a sense of humor or just even a poise when everything's hitting the fan?
Yeah, I mean, we're very lucky that with all the moving parts that went into this launch, that not too much kind of went wrong. But there were a lot of things that I wish I had done better. Things on Amazon's end, for example, the Kindle book took way longer than expected to be approved. And because of that, it actually wasn't available during launch day. So only the paperback was available, which delayed an email that I had sent out that, I wanted to make sure people got access to it in a way that they wanted to consume it. But anyway, I've learned over time through the 8 years of being an entrepreneur that things are always, always going to go wrong. Mm. And if it doesn't, then great. But if it does, then it's just part of the process of being an entrepreneur. I mean, failures, mistakes happen. As long as I can learn from those failures and they don't happen again. So you can be sure that the next go around with the book, I'm going to give myself a little bit more time in terms of the deadline and flexibility in terms of when I've uploaded things, and to give myself that a little bit of flexibility. But more than that, it's just, it happens. And life is really how you react to the things that happen to you, especially if they're not under your control. So all you can do is laugh about it, really, because it's just another one of those moments that happen, and you're going to get by it, and everything is going to work out just fine. So that's how I always approach it. And it becomes something that I know is a part of the process. And, if it doesn't happen, great. If it does, well, we'll just deal with it and laugh it off.
Fantastic. Well, Pat, even down to the way that the book was designed, I don't know if other people caught it, but do you know on the bottom of your book how this airplane goes throughout the whole chapter? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I love it.
I love that touch.
I mean, the subtle. So first of all, folks, it's a beautiful book. Second of all, it comes with a free course. Third of all, it is chock full of wisdom. Look, Pat, all the time, like most people who are crushing it, get the brain pickers emails. This is how you can pick Pat's brain, like literally, for hours. And so you want to grab this. It's his best work yet. And Pat, why don't you give kind of any final words of wisdom to a group that is excited but fearful when it comes to launching their business? What would you tell the person who still has fear?
Connect with other people. And I think that's why the fact that you call your people a tribe is really important, because you all have each other. So with Carrie's leadership and everybody else involved, you're going to win, because there's other people in this world that want to help each other, and you found each other. So just stick with each other, help each other out. That's really what it's all about. I definitely wouldn't have been able to get through this book on my own. And you could read that in the acknowledgement section if you want to know who specifically I'm talking about. But there's amazing people out there. And again, so that is, ask for help, but also provide help when you are able to as well.
Fantastic, Pat. Where can people find out more about you and the book?
So the book you can find at willitflybook.com, and myself you could find at smartpassiveincome.com, and then also on Twitter at Pat Flynn, same handle on Instagram or Periscope at Pat Flynn.
All right, Pat, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Well, folks, I hope you found that incredibly helpful on your entrepreneurial journey. And go ahead and apply a bunch of those principles that we discussed, Pat and I. And next time you have a business inside you, you wake up in the middle of the night, you're ready to go rock and roll, rather than just go make that thing happen for the next 12 months, put it through the grid. Put it through that fantastic process that Pat discusses. And as a result, you'll end up saving a bunch of time and money. Well, we have next week a very special guest as well. I kind of consider March like mentor month. I don't know why, but that's how it turned out. And I'm going to conclude my 3-episode series with another superstar, Mr. Dan Miller. A lot of you know Dan. He did the Escaping Shawshank event with David and I last year, he and Joanne, and it was fantastic. He's the New York Times best-selling author of 48 Days to the Work You Love. And he's kind of like the grandfather of the day job to dream job. I mean, he literally wrote that book over a decade ago now. And he's a genius. I love every time I hang out with him, and I'm incredibly excited to bring that special interview to you next week. And then it's back to you and me. And I have a bunch of episodes that have been stockpiling, meaning you've sent in questions, you've asked me for specific content on certain areas, and we're going to take a deep dive on that. So I cannot wait for that. But folks, I just want to give you just a big shout out. Thank you for your support. So many of you. Folks, we have got 20 new reviews on iTunes in the last 2 weeks. I mean, you guys have just been so generous, so gracious. What that does is it helps get the word out about the podcast, helps us ignite more souls. So if you do find this content valuable, a couple things, just jump over to iTunes, write a sentence or two under ratings and reviews. That helps us. And if you don't want to miss some of these upcoming episodes, make sure you subscribe. And then if you want, we have developed just a stockpile, again, of content. We've been curating it. We've been organizing it into specific topics. If you go to carryoverrunner.com over the next few weeks, you're going to see just brilliant, hand-picked content that you've asked for based on your identity, your purpose, and your direction. Your identity, your purpose, and your direction. Who am I? Why am I here? Where am I going? And then a bunch on writing. So we're going to continue to just keep providing value for you. I mean, that is our passion, to see you a soul on fire. In fact, we'll close with that. A great quote from Ferdinand Foch: the most powerful weapon on earth is the human soul on fire. And then Saint Irenaeus said that the glory of God is a man or woman fully alive. So folks, choose to be a soul on fire. Make it happen. Thanks for hanging out, and I'll see you next week.